Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey. While the solar eclipse further delayed negotiations over the state budget, local school district administrators can rejoice over the fact that, for now, any changes to the way school aid is calculated are off the table. Desiree Keegan reports on 27East.com that Governor Kathy Hochul announced the decision last week, months after her original proposal, with a push to modernize the state's education funding formula, which projected a significant loss of money for most East End schools. While New York State Assemblyman Fred W. Thiel Jr. said on Monday that the aid is being restored to at least what it was for the current school year, many school officials are still hesitant. That's because the governor's spending plan has yet to be officially approved, as discussions on the budget have now been prolonged nearly 2 weeks past the April 1st deadline, as differences over education, health care, and housing have divided leaders in Albany. Governor Hochul has vowed to put a new process in place by next year. But with school budgets needing to be adopted this month to be presented to voters in May, local administrators like East Hampton Superintendent of Schools Adam Fine were left scrambling to figure out how to present a plan with no definitive dollar amount. He said state officials need to provide districts with firm state aid figures early enough in the process to ensure the construction of accurate spending plans. As it now stands, we are struggling to know whether we will receive $775,000 in state aid in next year's revenue plan. Given that uncertainty, it is nearly impossible to construct a spending plan to present to voters, said the East Hampton Superintendent of Schools. Engineers can start drafting plans for a new police station and justice court in Southold after the town board unanimously approved the construction. Tara Smith reports on Newsday.com that the Southold Town Board voted 6-0 on March 28th to approve a $528,000 contract with Nelson and Pope to design the two facilities. Southold Town officials met with representatives of the Melville-based engineering firm last week to outline their vision for the new public safety campus in Peconic. After more than 5 years of searching, Southold is expected to close April 19th and pay $1.4 million for 3.79 acres immediately west of the existing police station, according to town attorney Paul DeChance. There, a pair of barns will be raised to make way for a new police station, whose headquarters will be torn down to build a new justice court. Police Chief Martin Flatley said a new police station was long overdue and the department of 54 officers had outgrown the more than 50-year-old building. Lisa Goree has been elected as the new chair of the Shinnecock Nation Council of Trustees, making her the first woman in the tribe's history to serve in the capacity since the trustee system was established in 1792. Caitlin Riley reports on 27East.com that Ms. Goree replaces Brian Polite, who stepped down with a year left on his term. Polite served a total of 7 years as chairman. Goree has worked for the town of Southampton for more than 23 years and has been the town assessor for the last 12 years. She is the mother of three daughters, Christine, Corinna, and Kessie. Goree chose to run for a one-year term rather than a two-year term and explained her decision. I want to make sure it's the right fit and make sure people want me in there. Turnout was high for the vote, too. The federal government will, for the first time, require utilities to limit forever chemicals in drinking water linked to cancers, developmental damage, and other health problems, imposing stricter levels than current state standards on the contaminants in Long Island drinking water. As reported in the Newsday, the move will reduce exposure for 100 million people, the Environmental Protection Agency announced yesterday. At issue is a class of thousands of synthetic chemicals called per- or polyfluoroalkyl, or PFAS, which are found in Long Island groundwater and can be detected in the blood of almost every American. Used since the 1940s to repel oil and water and resist heat, they are commonly found in products ranging from nonstick cookware to cell phones and medical supplies. They are called forever chemicals because their components break down very slowly. New York State in 2020 set a limit of 10 parts per trillion for PFOS and PFOA, two of the most common forever chemicals, and most Long Island water providers already have equipment in place to meet that limit. The EPA is setting maximum contaminant levels at 4 parts per trillion for each of those compounds, the lowest levels the agency said are feasible for effective implementation. Public water systems have until 2029 to comply with the limits. Water providers said they're in compliance with EPA standards or working toward it, but treatment will be costly. Adrian Esposito, executive director of Citizens Campaign for the Environment, called the rule one of the most significant public health victories in a generation. We have genuine hope that this will reduce cancer rates throughout Long Island and the nation. In a significant step forward for the establishment of a sewer district and construction of a sewage treatment plant in Riverside, the Southampton Town Board this past Tuesday voted to accept a notice of completion for the supplemental final generic environmental impact statement following its fifth public hearing on the matter. Christopher Walsh reports on 27East.com that the $35.5 million sewage treatment plant, in the planning stage for almost a decade and to be primarily funded with Suffolk County, New York State, and federal funding, is intended to revitalize Riverside and the adjacent hamlet of Flanders. In its first phase, it is to tie in 237 existing residences with others, possibly including the Suffolk County Center in Riverside, to follow. The vote followed comment for and against the plan from about a dozen people, including a member of the Riverhead Town Board and other officials representing that town, and parents and administrators of the Phillips Avenue Elementary School in Riverside, who expressed concern about odor and potential toxic releases from a plant they said will be sited too close to the school. Janice Shearer, Southampton's Planning and Development Administrator, said those issues have been effectively addressed. April has been declared Dark Skies Month in the town of Southampton. Southampton Town's Dark Skies Committee urges everyone to go out and observe the night wonders above us. To see these constellations and planets, we need to minimize light pollution, turning off outdoor lighting by 10 p.m. and shielding light fixtures. Southampton Town's Dark Skies Committee also urges you to attend their Celebrate the Night Sky event tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the Southampton High School Planetarium. Astronomy teacher John Walsh will lead an exploration of night sky wonders in the SHS Planetarium and step outside to observe the real sky, weather permitting. Perfect for the whole family, free admission. That's Friday at 7 p.m. in the Southampton High School Planetarium. Outdoor dining and outdoor seating permits were tentatively approved by the West Hampton Beach Village Board last week for the upcoming summer season for a majority of restaurants and food establishments that applied for them, save for five unidentified establishments that village officials said needed to modify their applications. Bill Sutton reports on 27East.com that the West Hampton Beach Village Board meeting last Thursday was packed with restaurant owners concerned that the board would deny the permits following a high-octane work session in late March, at which Mayor Ralph Urban and other board members said that approval of the permits had been on hold due to concerns from the Suffolk County Department of Health that the popular outdoor dining practice was being abused by some restaurant owners who were expanding the capacity of their restaurants without health department approval. The county had loosened restrictions during the pandemic, but has been tightening them back up recently as officials had noticed an increase in sewer flow attributed to restaurants exceeding their allotted number of seats. When an eatery turns to outdoor dining or outdoor seating, it is required to reduce the number of indoor seats proportional to the outdoor seats. Many establishments in the county were not doing that, Mayor Urban said last month. There is a distinction at the county level between outdoor dining, which offers wait service, and outdoor seating, in which tables are provided for self-service consumption of grab-and-go food. Restaurant owners became concerned about possible delays in providing outdoor seats by the beginning of the season, which is typically mid-April. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.